Good morning.
Good morning.
It's obvious that all the speakers from now on are going to have a shaving accident every morning. So I have my shaving accident. So. We Christians, we're really high maintenance. We're very high maintenance. We need a lot of maintenance. As Eugene Peterson put it, we need a lot of pruning. A lot of maintenance. And with the idea of pruning, I want us to think of one analogy here while we're talking, is think of our spiritual health, our spiritual growth as this tree, and we're supposed to be bearing fruit. So kind of keep that in mind as we talk about maintenance and pruning and keeping our spiritual lives healthy. Psalm 131 is another tool in our wonderful toolbox that Jesus, the Lord, has given us to be able to run through our lives, to be able to be on this path that we're on. And this is the second analogy that I want to use today that I've used in the past, this road concept. This is the other analogy, and I'll be using it basically side by side with, again, the tree, the growth, our spiritual health. And Psalm 131 deals with humility. Now, humility might seem like a really simple topic. Well, what's humility? Well, just be humble. Well, that sounds simple, but there's more to it than that, and I really hope I can show you that today. When we think about our road, there are really two sides to this road. Now, one side of this road is actually rather obvious. The other side might not be so obvious. We might not think about being too humble at times. But let's tackle the first part. Let's tackle the other side, the complete opposite of humility. And Eugene Peterson puts it as unruly ambition. Unruly ambition. And maybe to get an idea of what this is, I'll speak the psalm here. Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Haughty. Haughty. I had to kind of look that up. I had an idea, but I had to look that up. Haughty is just this conglomeration of arrogance, vanity, egotistical, condescension, these kinds of things that people can do onto others, quite honestly. And in relation to our faith, I don't know how many of you have seen this. Let's take a Christian who is perhaps condescending to a new Christian. That they see this new Christian who's just starting out. They've just found the Lord and they're excited. But this person who thinks they're further on in their walk with God, they're further on in their ideas and their knowledge that they think, and they find themselves self-righteous. And they see this new person over here, and they kind of look over there and go, if you want to know what righteousness really looks like, just look no further. It's right here. I know what I'm talking about. You need to learn more to get to my status. And it's not just Christian to Christian, but it can be a Christian to an unbeliever. How often a Christian can sometimes put down what we see are the sinners, the rest of the world. They just don't get it. They don't understand it. We have the secret. We know more than they do. We have more power than they do. But how beneficial is that? What kind of fruit could possibly grow from that? When you get to that side of the road, all these vines, all these weeds really start covering over that tree of your spiritual health. And we need to be able to prune that. I think honestly, when it comes to the bad side, Jesus even gave us a perfect example of what this is. Luke 18, starting at verse 9 to 14. He also told this parable to someone who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Jesus tells them this. Two men went into a temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. So even Jesus Christ understood how awfully potent, someone who's incredibly condescending, someone who's incredibly self-righteous, somebody who has trust in the wrong place. They have trust in themselves. How detrimental that is to somebody who's looking for the mercy from God, who's looking for the hope, who's looking for strength. That kind of condescension isn't going to bear any fruit for that person. He's certainly not going to bear fruit for himself at that point. And I think the pinnacle of this side of the road, the pinnacle of unruly ambition, is we get to the point where we say to ourselves, thanks God, but I'll take it from here. We're going to take control of our lives. We're going to wield power. All of a sudden now we have this self-righteous knowledge that somehow we're now going to go through our lives and we're really not going to need God anymore. But there comes a point where you hit that point and all of a sudden things start crashing around you. Things start going wrong. All of a sudden you don't have control. You find you don't have any sort of power with things that are going on. Like it says in Psalm 131, I do not concern myself with great matters or wonders or things that are too wonderful for me. You start concerning yourself things that are out of your control. And they start coming in and crashing around you. And ultimately, I think you're swerving over to this side of the road and you hit that pinnacle of I'm in control, and it just crashes and you all of a sudden veer to the other side of the road. And you go right on past the center of the path where we really need to be. And we'll get to what that really is. And we go right on over to the other side of the road. We go beyond just normal humility, going beyond even maybe, I'm unworthy. And quite honestly, at this point, where we're really at is on this side of the road, infantile dependency. As Eugene Peterson put it. And this is very interesting. And there's two components to this as well. The first, as I said, that complete and utter crash where you finally come to God in a panic and go, God, I can't do anything. What am I doing? Or what can possibly go on? God, help. God, help. We come to him in a panic almost. But there's another part to infantile dependency. And again, we go back to our psalm and we look, what does it say in the second part? I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Notice it says a weaned child. It's not talking about an infant. It's not talking about this little infant that's being held by its mother and has to suckle with its mother to gain nutrients. It's a weaned child. That weaned child is now actually able to go out in the world and explore and learn. So we have this panicking side of this infantile dependency. How many of us have seen people that just worry about absolutely everything in their life? Absolutely everything. You know, how can you function during the day with all of the worry that you have? And to us, it might seem trivial things. And even Jesus says in Matthew 6:26, he's talking about the birds. He's talking about these people that are constantly worrisome. Why are you worried? Look at the birds in the air. Do these birds worry about food, clothing, where they're going to live? The lowest of these creatures, yet God holds you up higher. Why are you worried about clothing? Why are you worried about all these things? You're not going to go anywhere. How can your tree, your spiritual tree grow and be healthy if you've got all these vines and these weeds growing and you need to constantly be pruning that? But there's this other part of extreme humility. We have the tax collector who's standing or standing in front of God but won't look up. Now he understands that he's a sinner and he's looking for mercy and he feels horrible for it. But we can go even further. We can get to the point where we start being self-demeaning. We start doubting ourselves. We start lowering our own value. We may even lose our identity to some point. We start to say to God, God, I can't help you. There's no way I can help you. I have no capability. I have no power. There's no way you could use me to bear fruit or to help anyone else to bear fruit. And I use the rodent analogy again. We get over that far over to the extreme humility side and we start getting off road and we start hitting these rocks and this mud and we finally get down into this valley and we hit this marsh and muck and we just get stuck. And how is our spiritual life supposed to grow? How is this tree supposed to flourish? How are we supposed to bear fruit if we're jammed down here self-loathing and we're useless worms and God, no way could you possibly use me? How, where's the trust? How is God then going to use you? How is God going to use me? Where's the trust? Again, there's that word trust. We really are running in two modes, I think. Very often. We have this, thanks God, but I'll take it from here attitude. I've been there. I've been there this whole last month. Many of you probably don't know, maybe you do, but a few weeks ago, it started out even before that, probably the beginning of March, one of our oldest cats got sick, died, so we had to put it to sleep. So that was very hard on my wife, somewhat hard on me. I wasn't as attached to that particular cat. but it really was depressing for her. It was really hard. And I was there for it, so I had to be there and watch it be put to sleep. And that's very difficult, even when you're not attached to it. I don't know how many people have had to do that with a dog or some other animal, how difficult that truly is. And then a few weeks later, Rhonda got a call that my wife, that her dad was in the hospital again. And it wasn't looking too good. Well, her dad passed away a few weeks ago. So that was rough on her. To put on top of that, the fact that he had a very old dog that he knew he was going to have to put to sleep at some point. So the day after, the Saturday after he passed away, I mean, they were there, they were holding his hands, they were talking to him as he passed away. So the very next day, we go to his apartment and we pick up this very old aged dog. And we go and we take it to the vet and we sit there and watch the dog be put to sleep. A week and a half later, a second cat falls deathly ill and we put that cat to sleep. So, you see, tragedy happens in threes. It kind of hit us in fours this time. Earlier the week, actually a week ago, Rhonda gets the call saying, Rhonda, your cousin's in the hospital. And it's not looking good. He had a stroke. And this is the son of the same aunt, her aunt, whose brother just died. My wife's father. That was her brother. So now all of a sudden this aunt of hers is now staring down the barrel of her having to bury her son. She just lost her brother. Now she's going to bury her son. And Rhonda calls me and says, I volunteered you. You're going to have to pick her up from the airport. And I don't know when that is. And she's just beside herself. And I just tell her, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. We've gone through all this other stuff. I am at a loss. I have no power left. But where was my trust at that point? Was I really looking to God for strength at that point? Or was I being somewhat arrogant, somewhat overconfident in my ability to, I can handle all these things that are going on in my life. But I got to the point, I was like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. We need to just leave it to God. And right then and there, poof, all the weight went off. No matter what was going to happen, the weight went off. This is what trusting God. We know that whatever's going to happen, it's in His hands. It's in His plans. I trust. We trusted that God was going to be able to do that. We weren't like the infant that's God's walking along and He's dragging us along on our leg. Okay, please just help me, anything, everything. We weren't doing that at that point. We weren't one of those people at that point. But we were for a moment. We definitely were. But then we realized, oh, we got to kind of let go of His leg. Oh, I trust You. I trust You, God, that You're going to take care of this situation. So we have this, we think we're invincible, and then we kind of all, and it almost always ends up in this crash where we run to God in a panic. Or we have the people that start over here, they're meek, they're mild, they're too afraid to move beyond. So what do we do? What can we possibly do? Well, we are to live in God's terms. God has terms for us here. And as there's two parts to this, on our road, as much as we have this unruly ambition, and then the opposite side, we have this infantile dependency, we have two really awesome things, two terms that God gives us then. The first one is really great. I love saying it. I just love the way it sounds, and this is what Eugene Peterson came up with. Faithful aspiration. I just like the way that sounds. Faithful aspiration. There's some ambition there. It says, God, You're going to reveal to us. I am ready to learn. I'm like that child who's free to go and explore in the world. And I'm ready to learn from You. And at the same time, there's trust. The other portion, the other term, when it comes to having humility, proper humility, is trust. So here again, notice that in Psalm 131, it says a weaned child, not the infant, who's completely and utterly helpless and can't do anything without its mother, but we're a child. And I like the idea that we're a child. We're just so trusting of our mother and father, that our mother and father is going to clothe us, they're going to feed us, they're going to protect us, they're always going to be there for us for any sort of comfort that we might need. Trust. We got to have that perfect trust. There's no need then to worry about these all these little things in our lives that we really don't need to be worrying about, to waste our energy thinking about and worrying about. And a particular verse that I really like, and I it kind of puts it all into one piece, is actually 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear. Not of fear, but of power. Yes, power and love and self-control. Self-control. The thing with power, and we get to that point where we become overconfident or arrogant or egotistical or vain with where we stand and how fruitful our tree may be at that point, is we want to wield that power. We want to take the Holy Spirit, come over to this atheist and smash this. We're going to put the Holy Spirit in this atheist. Convert! We don't wield God's power like that. We don't wield it. God wields us. God works through us. Do we have God's power? Yes, but it's because He's living and working through us. We're not taking control and saying, God, I'm taking it from here. That's not what's going on. Trust. And I like the whole idea of the self-control. Don't overuse it and don't go too far down here. Because we're actually made in God's image. We're not ridiculously miserable. God wants us to realize that we're in His image. And because we're in His image, He's given us these awesome psalms, quite honestly, to use as instruction. So that we can maintain and prune this awesomely wonderful, healthy spiritual tree that we have, so that we can bear fruit. Because one direction or the other, we're going to wind up not bearing fruit ourselves, or we're going to wind up actually causing other people to have issues bearing fruit. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to have this faithful aspiration. When that new Christian comes on board and you see that person, you're supposed to go to that person with excitement, with passion. Go to that person and say, I know where you are, I've been there, and I know how difficult this might all seem, and it's just, it's mind-boggling what we're all supposed to know, what we're all supposed to learn. I'm here with you because I'm still learning. And I know how difficult it is. I have difficulty in my own life. So I'm here with you. Instead of looking down on that person. Or, at this time of the year, you know, we might look down on, you know, during times of Passover, maybe we get a little resentment. We look down on the Jews. We look down on the atheists or people who are unbelievers or people who don't even have the same kind of political views or the moral compass we think we have. But that's not what it's about. It's about faithful aspiration to want to be there with them and to help them so that they can prune their spiritual tree and be fruitful. I know in my life I want to be able to use this psalm and all the other psalms that we're learning, all the other psalms that we're studying in my life as awesome tools so that I can prune my own tree to keep me in the center so I understand what, in this instance, what humility is. What is humility really? It's trust, quite honestly, perfect trust that we know where the power really comes from. So we're not going to go this too far off this way and say, well, I can wield it. Or too far down here to say, I have to worry about everything because I don't know if God's actually going to take care of me. It's trust. And like all the other psalms we're learning about, once you have trust, you ultimately have incredible strength. And that's what I think brings all of these topics we're studying with this, with the Psalms of Ascension, is you ultimately get strength out of all of this as we move down this road. So I hope that with these questions that we have, we can kind of discover the places where maybe we've let that condescending attitude overtake us or blind us. We took our eyes off one part of our spiritual life and the vines and the overgrowth have started. Or the other side, where we've just felt that we just can't do this, God. Or we start to worry about everything. And the vines and the overgrowth start taking over there. So, Lord, let us have our eyes open, Lord, so that when we work with these questions, Lord, we can see how these issues may affect our lives, how they may affect other people's lives, Lord. And that our eyes might be open to the reality that if we have the proper trust in you, Lord, like the weaned child, Lord, not the infant, Lord, that we can be able to help other people in that. Not only would we bear fruit then, Lord, but we can help other people to grow and come to you and come to your name, Jesus Christ. And I pray these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.